Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
Oh, that's the way it was, but it's not the way it is. What? 720 WGN. John Landecker at 836. We're going to talk about a local production of The War of the Worlds that is done in the dark, so to speak. Did I confuse you enough? Maybe Mark Gordon can explain. Hey, Mark, are you there, Mac?
Yeah, I'm here. No problem at all.
Oh, good. Can you explain what the heck I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can do my best to do it. So our company, Theater in the Dark, we used to do shows live in person in the pitch black. Yes. And as soon as the pandemic began, we sort of saw a good opportunity to pivot our shows to be live, virtual, online shows that are sound only. So essentially a radio play.
Yeah.
And we still do them live over the Zoom platform, and we combine actors from all across the world, and we can tune into people's homes and their computers all across the world as well.
Also with us is Corey Bradbury, who's a Chicago director and a founding producer of Theater in the Dark. Do I have this right? You did live performances with an audience sitting in a theater in the dark. Is that right?
Yes. Not with this show in particular.
No, no,
that
no.
was the original plan.
Yeah. That's what you did originally. Yeah.
That was our first main stage project in fall of 2019. And also thank you for having us. It's great to be talking with you about the show. And we would perform this noir mystery, three stories up, that Mac had written and I directed, in the pitch black conditions, with actors performing in front, around, behind you, with live Foley effects, pre-recorded sound, and actors playing multiple characters. So it's a real, real treat.
That's fantastic. Well, it's unfortunate that the COVID put a kibosh on that, but you have responded with an amazing idea, and that is, if you don't mind me saying so, a reworking, if you will, of the Orson Welles War of the Worlds, which, of course, was in its original form a radio play, right?
That's right, yeah. So what we've kind of done is taken the idea of the radio play and updated it for our contemporary times. So it has a lot of sort of more serious elements that some old radio plays kind of feel a little dated and hokey, but this one is pretty contemporary. We set the story in Chicago in 2021 as well to really kind of give it an updated feel.
So in the original, people believe that Martians were attacking New Jersey or something. Are Martians are Martians attacking Chicago?
They are, although we don't try to trick people in the way that Orson Welles was in 1938. Like, obviously, we're going into this knowing that our audience knows what Martians are. They may have seen a movie or an adaptation of in some kind. There are graphic novels. There's even a musical. And so we went even further back than the 1938 broadcast, even though we were very influenced by it, and went to the 1898 novel by H.G. Wells.
Uh-huh.
And so by going even further back in a way, it's been very interesting to then bring what Wells was writing about at the end of the 19th century into the early 21st century.
So in writing, you wrote this with the idea of it being, for lack of a better term, a radio production. I mean, it could also be a podcast, if you want to call it that, or the point being that it was audio only. People would receive it in their homes. There'd be nothing to, quote unquote, look at, if you will. And it was all going to be the theater of the mind, correct?
That's right. Yeah. One of the things we really emphasize in our scripts in general is sort of really powerful descriptions and figures of speech so that people can use their imagination to almost feel as though they're right there. And one of the things that we really got to do with this show was, with the help of Ben Zucker, who is a Chicago composer, is have a fully realized soundscape that plays underneath the entirety of the show. So it really kind of transports you to this science fiction world where you can turn off your visual aspect for a little while, use your imagination, and pretend like the alien is right there in the room with you.
I love this. I understand we have a clip. Let's hear it.
No more, no more, please.
And what else?
We're doing all we can here.
You okay?
Yeah, what a rush.
Over there, it's another one of those machines.
Oh, screw it. Everybody on. Come on, let's go.
Open the locks. Open them up.
Sir, it's not filled enough. We can't. Crowd in. Press together, everyone. We got to fit as many
as
possible.
Open the locks. We can't wait. Open the locks.
All right. Everybody hold on tight.
How fast do you think this thing goes?
Not as fast as your heartbeat.
Then not fast enough.
Get it, full throttle.
Everybody on.
I don't know. Am I going to survive?
Yeah, so what you just heard there...
certainly takes its lumps.
Yeah, and what you just heard there was part of the update is we've moved it to Lake Michigan. So they're in the locks on an architecture tour going into Lake Michigan to try to escape those Martians.
Right, which is, of course, everybody knows Lake Michigan is Martian free, has been, I don't know, for decades. We're going to do more on the War of the Worlds and the Theater in the Dark in a couple of minutes here at 720 WGN. It's a very mysterious sound that we hear now. What could it possibly foretell? 720 WGN, John Landecker, talking about a new production of War in the Worlds, War of the Worlds, by the folks at Theater in the Dark. Mac and Corey are with us. You guys are put this thing together, and how are you able to incorporate people from different locations? You know, like I guess it's like a Zoom. And then be able to coordinate it with your sound effects and all your music. I mean, that's got to be quite a challenge. Anybody can answer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Corey here. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a lot of rehearsal, and we are in a screen-free experience. Like the audience, we don't use our video to check in. But we found that the Zoom platform was such a great way to connect not just actors to actors, but also actors to audiences. And so... being able to coordinate the live effects as well as the pre-recorded sound, as well as connecting actors across 5,500 miles, including Chicago, Vancouver, and New Orleans. I mean, it takes a lot of work on the actor's part to anticipate the microsecond internet lags.
Oh my
gosh. We even had an actor that had to perform through the hurricane in New Orleans. Her power went out, and she performed the show by making her phone a hotspot and connected her microphone in her studio.
There are
a lot of challenges. Absolutely.
Yeah, so you do this live every time?
Yeah, even that clip that you just played was actually just a recording from the show, like directly archivally from it. So in that recording, there was two of the actors were in Chicago. I'm in Vancouver right now, and another actor was in New Orleans. And yet you can still hear all of that, right?
I have a question then.
Yeah.
Because no one would know. Why don't you just record it?
Actually,
I mean, no one would know.
We've had a lot of people ask us about that, and there's a reason. Right now, we're doing these in Zoom rooms and not even Zoom webinars. You know, we wanted to. It's really important to us as theater artists to retain as much of the live element as possible.
Oh, I get that.
But we are definitely, as we're looking to the future of certainly, you know, what's going to be happening over the next couple of months and beyond, that's definitely something that we're looking at as serving audiences that don't just want to tune in at a certain time and have the event, but also might want to download or stream like we know other companies might be doing.
Yeah, because with all the
there's something to that sort of live element, right? There's something to the fact that we're all gathered at the same time. Performing while the people in the audience are sitting around in a dark room, hopefully with a couple of cocktails and enjoying it, right?
Yeah. I get that. But with so many balls in the air, juggling different locations, different countries, for crying out loud, plus music, plus sound effects. I mean, that's got to be who directs this thing once it gets going? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, that's why. So I'm a director and stage manager of the project. And so part of my job is making sure that everything coordinates. And I mean, we have had actors lose internet connections mid-show. And that's part of the fun, just like if you were doing a live in-person show, is how do you make the thing happen in the midst of obstacles? And actually, in talking to our actors over the last week, I think there's a real need on our part as artists to be working our craft, just like we're having this conversation live now.
Oh, I understand. Something about the
artistic act of trying to build community through story. And that's really been our primary drive over the last year as we've developed this project, for sure.
No, I understand that totally. I can't stand recording things. I just can't stand it. That's why I don't do any kind of podcasting. I've tried it before. I've done voice tracking. I hate it because it's just
it's a different set of expectations on the audience's part, too. And that's why we try really hard to like go above and beyond. And I've even now started like saying the day's date and the curtain speech. We do like a video Q&A where we'll flip our videos on, to show people like, look, there's no cards up our sleeves. Like, we're here making this happen. And if a mistake happens in the moment, like, we're here listening to each other and having the balance. And I think that's the real joy of it.
Well, it's so ambitious. I mean, really, the technical... things that need to be coordinated to put this on are mammoth. I mean, it strikes me as being far more difficult than even a live television show, because you're separated by so many miles and then separated by latency or whatever the term is on the internet, going back and forth with dialogue and sound effects and music. It's really astounding. How do we get to hear this? What do we do? What do I got to do?
So all you got to do to hear it is...
Oh, go ahead, Mac.
Go to theaterinthedark.com is where our tickets are available.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, our website is set up really well to tell you exactly what you can expect from the experience and how to prepare yourself best for the experience.
So
yeah, and we're running through November 21st, so we have two more weekends coming up, and audiences can select their showtime through our website at theaterinthedark.com.
And then it counts down to the actual start time, right? And then you go. You're on.
Yeah, we contact everyone. We follow up with everybody the day of, and then we send everyone a link when our house is open, our lobby is open, and then from there, 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock central, depending on what day of the week you're tuning in. We move forward as a group.
Well, you know, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but it's pretty darn old. and, you know, I was not around for the, like, quote unquote, the golden age of radio, as they call it, where everything, there was no television and everything was theater of the mind, whether it was comedy, mystery, variety shows, you name it. But I've become a fan of it over the years and have participated in a couple of live presentations of old radio drama with a group called the SAG-AFTRA Senior Players that was done at a theater in the Cultural Center before all of this. And the as actors, you'd stand at the mics with the script as though it were, you know, back in the studio. And then the sound effects, though, were done whenever possible organically. Like, if there was a door slam, we had a door and slammed it. You know what I mean?
Right.
but obviously, though, those kind of things aren't available to use because they've been replaced by, you know, electronic, digital sound effects pre-recorded, which are great. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be used. It's just I've been a fan of this kind of thing for years. What was the what got you to do this? Either one, Matt, Corey. What was the genesis of the idea? What happened when you sat down and said, "Hey, you know what? Let's do War of the Worlds." Where did that come from?
I think it's a matter of wanting to tell stories still. We're theater makers, and we've now been, like, sent away from the theaters and sent away from our live audiences. So we've had to find a way to connect with our communities across the world and continue to tell stories, because stories, I think, to me, are the lifeblood of what makes people tick. It's how we learn about each other. It's how we see each other at the same level and, you know, kind of combat that divisiveness that is going on a lot in the world right now.
Can I? Well, I'm going to ask you a monetary question. Did you have to pay for the rights to do War of the Worlds?
Yeah, so amazingly, this is the first year that the 1898 novel by H.G. Wells is in the public domain.
Gotcha, because you're not doing... Which, I see. Yeah, because you're not doing... what's his name? You're not doing...
Yeah, we, like I said,
you're not doing the radio play.
The novel,
you're doing
more so than the Orson Welles broadcast.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're doing the book.
Yes, nice. And even though we definitely, like, have several nods to the Wells broadcast, the majority of our inspiration went all the way back.
Nice move, boys. What a great idea. By the way, the book is now out in the open. Okay, we'll do that. That is smart. You guys are smart.
Well, honestly, it's just about, I mean... innovative is a big word that people use when they describe us, which we're very humbled by. And I think, though, that's at the core of what we're thinking of doing. Like, Chicago has always been scrappy, and Chicago theater makers are always looking for opportunities. And I think this is really our attempt to like, look at the obstacles that life has presented us and try to make something hopefully beautiful that entertains people and lets people escape from all of the actual scary things from this year and enjoy a Martian invasion for 90 minutes.
I totally get that. You worked at the Red Orchid Theater. Did both of you work there?
Mac, I'm not sure if you had worked there, but I was working there as a production manager, and actually the show I was working on was shut down when all the quarantine went into effect in March and April.
My daughter is an actor, and years ago she did a production there with Michael Shannon, who I think is still one of the directors on the board or something. I'm pretty sure he's still involved.
He still does shows there quite often, I think.
Pardon me? Matt? Corey?
He still does do shows there quite often, I think. Yeah. I think he was back there just this last season. I did a reading with him one time, but nothing
he's a great
too
kid.
Involved.
Well, he's not a kid anymore, but he's. I've known him since he was in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, he and my daughters and a couple of other people who now work over at Steppenwolf had a little theater company of their own, but that's another story. So, once again...
You know, I do think that he's such a great example of, like, a Chicago theater, or a representative of Chicago theater. I mean, you always hear stories of him coming back and supporting the community, even though he's doing these incredibly large projects, and it's a real credit to the innovation and the livelihood of the Chicago theater community.
Yes, and I mean, the guy's been nominated for an Oscar and still comes back and doesn't forget his roots. And the Chicago theater scene, the Chicago theater community is one of the most dynamic that's ever been. And anybody in that arena will tell you that. And it strikes me that, what's old is new again, so to speak, not necessarily exactly the same, but you've approached War of the Worlds in a fashion that was similar to what was done for Sam Spade, Boston Blackie, The Lone Ranger, all the radio dramas of the 30s and 40s were produced not as technically challenging as yours, but still the idea was sit at home with some people, listen to in the dark, listen to this, and enjoy the theater of the mind, which is exactly what I'm looking forward to when I get tickets to your production. Once again, tell us how to get tickets to these live presentations of your version of the War of the Worlds. Anybody?
Sure, Corey here. Yeah, all of our information, again, we're playing for two more weekends through November 21st. Most of our shows are at 8 p.m. Central. We do have a Sunday show at 7 p.m. Central coming up, as well as a Friday the 13th show, which we're going to enjoy coming up too.
Oh, yeah.
But all of our information is at our website, theaterinthedark.com, and that's theater with an R-E, not an E-R.
Okay. Well, thank you both for being with us, and break a leg.